The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
Because today, we're talking about temptation, right? In our series in Matthew, we've been navigating through Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. And last week, we unpacked it from one angle, and today we're going to look at it from a different angle. And this is applicable to you wherever you are. How do I know that? Because it's the human condition. I mean, we're all tempted. We're all tempted in different areas, sure. We're tempted in somewhat different ways, true. But we're all tempted. Right? Maybe for you, it is being stingy. Maybe for you, it is kind of hoarding your resources. Or maybe for you, it's worry. You're tempted to fear, prone to anxiousness, always being consumed by the worst case scenario. You don't know God's peace. You don't know true faith in God. But you know the constant temptation of worry. Or maybe for you, you're tempted with anger. So you explode at your kids. You explode at your spouse. You explode at your friends. You're just a rage beast. Anybody who cuts you off in traffic. And yeah, you feel kind of embarrassed after one of your explosions. You try to kind of go and make it right. But, I mean, honestly, maybe you find there's something almost cathartic about unleashing. Maybe anger's where you're tempted. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's porn. You feel alone, you feel isolated, you just want to numb yourself. You just want to feel this sense of validation, and you sin, and then you swear that you're done and you're not going back, but you find yourself kind of caught in this cycle of addiction and shame. Maybe you're tempted with alcohol, and you can't simply have a few. But habitually and regularly, you consume to the point of excess simply to forget. You're stressed out? Well, you drink. Right? You're celebrating? Oh, well, you drink. Feeling lonely? Oh, you drink. Feeling good? You drink. And this temptation is beginning to kind of take over the various aspects of your life. And it's clearly affecting things negatively. It's clearly destroying your relationship with God, your relationship with those in your life. But for some reason, you find yourself being tempted and then falling over and over again. Worry, anger, lust, alcohol. Maybe for you it's laziness. It's comfort. So you don't have any kind of work ethic, so to speak. When you come home at the end of the day, all you do is plop yourself down and numb yourself with hours and hours of television. You don't engage your spouse. You don't engage your children. You don't engage your friends. You've kind of cut people off because you just want to forget. Right? Here's the point. I could have listed a dozen other areas in which we are tempted. But the point remains, right? We are all tempted. We are broken because of the effects of sin. We live in a broken world. And we have an enemy, the devil, that seeks to cause us to sin, to tempt us, to lead us into sin. And part of being a Christian is saying no to the flesh. It is saying no to sin. Right? That's not the end-all and be-all of what it means to be Christ-like or to be holy. I mean, God calls us to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. God calls us to love our enemies. But God also calls us to holiness. Right? God calls his people to say no to temptation. But here is the beautiful truth of Christianity and something that took me in my early years so much time and wrestling to really grab hold of. That Jesus' invitation, Jesus' command to say no to temptation is not merely designed to prevent us from having fun. No, Jesus invites his followers to say no to temptation to experience something better. That's why God calls us to say no to temptation. Because Jesus knows that none of those things, none of those temptations will ever provide you with what it is that you truly seek in that moment, what you truly need in that moment. So saying no to temptation opens us up to being able to say yes to God. I mean, why spend your life, your energy, your time, your resources on all of these futile, pointless, temporary pleasures when the real thing is available to you? I mean, don't give yourself to false peace, false joy, false comfort when Jesus offers you the real thing. So keep that in mind. When we talk about temptation, being a Christian is more than just simply avoiding a list of sins. And that somehow the more sins that you avoid, the holier that you are. No, the invitation in Christianity is find your hope and your life, your heart captivated by Jesus. And saying no to temptation is saying no to lesser sources of joy and life and peace so that you can say yes to Jesus and finding that in Him. So we're looking at Jesus' temptation in the wilderness here in Matthew chapter 4. And like I said, we talked about this last Sunday. And if you have your Bibles at home, open them up to Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to read it here in just a moment. But Jesus has just finished being baptized. He goes out into the wilderness. He's fasting for 40 days and Satan tempts him. And Satan tempts him in very specific ways. But Jesus overcomes temptation. Today, we're talking about, practically how God's people can avoid and say no to temptation. But you can't start here. Because this passage is not ultimately about you. It's not ultimately about me. This passage is not ultimately about how you can avoid temptation. This passage shows us something much deeper. This passage shows us that Jesus overcame sin and temptation, that He broke the power of sin, that He won a victory for His people. Where Adam failed, Jesus succeeds. Where Israel fails, Jesus overcomes. Jesus broke the power of sin through His perfect life of obedience evidenced here in Matthew 4 and throughout the rest of the gospel, through His death and through His resurrection. And until you get that truth, and until that becomes kind of your foundation, you're always going to be putting the cart before the horse. Right? So before we can look at how this applies to us, and how we can avoid temptation, we have to see the incredible truth that Jesus has already won the victory for us. Now we can get to work, right? Now we can actually talk about how we can avoid temptation. Because we know that Jesus already overcame for us. Now that's last week's sermon. I don't want to get back into that. But if you missed it, you can catch up on our podcasts. But today we're going to talk about how you and I are called to avoid temptation and the model or the example that Jesus has for us here. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to read it through, and then we'll talk about four steps to stand against temptation. This is God's word for us today. This is from Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. The tempter came to Him and said, "If you are the Son of God, well, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And then the devil took Him to the holy city and had Him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," He said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, 'He will command His angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" But Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took Him to a very high mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give to you," He said, "if you will bow down and worship Me." But Jesus said to him, "Away from Me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only.'" And then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Jesus offers us a template here, right? That is profound and will be profound in your life if you can understand, first of all, that what he has accomplished for you, that he has broken the power of sin, and see how he navigates through these very real temptations from Satan, right? So I said I was going to offer you four steps, right? Very simply. Here's the first one. Don't toy with sin. Kill it. Don't toy around with sin. Don't play around with it. Don't give it permission. Don't make allowances. Kill it. Be done with it. Don't give it any room. Look down to verse 4 or verse 3. So Satan comes to him in a moment of weakness and says to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And look at Jesus' response. He doesn't say, "Phew, that's true. I've been fasting for 40 days. That's pretty hardcore, right? I mean, I kind of maybe deserve it a little bit. Bread would be good right about now. I mean, it's going to be a while before I can get back to town and find some food. And, you know, it's only natural." He doesn't give it any kind of permission, right? He doesn't sit there and take this temptation and chew on it a little bit. No, he is firm in his resolve. He has already committed himself in his heart to be obedient to God. He doesn't give the devil room to make his case, right? You can see this in the Garden of Eden, right? Where Adam and Eve, they engage with Satan. They give him room. They add a little bit to God's word. They take away from it a little bit. And they just create space for that temptation to really set its roots down deep. You don't toy with sin. You kill it, right? If you struggle with alcohol, don't have a cabinet full, right? If you struggle with what you look at on your computer or on your smartphone, get some accountability software. If you struggle, look around at the situations, the events, kind of the patterns that lead up to your struggle, and deal with it at its root as best you can. Rules and regulations will never change your heart, right? But sometimes they are helpful in providing a little bit of space so that you can make the right decision without having to think it through or wrestle through it forever. I mean, Jesus doesn't sit here and give the devil any kind of room. No, he doesn't toy around with sin. He kills it. Here's an example. One of the things that I'm tempted to do if I'm stressed out is to read and research the news, something, you know, news or learning. I love those things. And I can lose myself down like, oh, building a canoe. Okay, it's something I could never do. I should probably really spend hours of my life researching that. And what it is, it's a way to just turn off. Right? I can research it, I can read it, I can look at forums, ask questions. And one of my temptations when I'm stressed out is to just waste my time, to numb myself with news and with research, learning about something. I've got a family. I've got one life. So a number of years ago, as Heather and I, my wife and I, were talking, both of us kind of said, you know what? We've got one life. We don't want it to be dominated by our screens. So I have a code on my phone that prevents me from accessing the internet at all. The only thing I use my phone for is for my emails, texting, and fitness tracking. Other than that, it's a dumb phone. My wife is the exact same. She has my passcode and I have hers. Right? It's just a simple thing that we've said, hey, we've got one life and I'm not strong enough. Right? To sit there and to just put it aside. No, I know that it's addictive. And I know that I can waste hours of my day reading and researching and checking out different sites. So it's like, I don't want that in my life. I want to be present. I've got one life for God's glory. Just the point is this, you don't toy with sin. You don't give it room. You don't have a conversation. Set your resolve, be firm, and kill it. Be done with it. Remove it. Get rid of it. Delete it. Erase it. Confess it. Don't toy with sin. kill it. Here's the second step. Don't toy with sin, kill it, but also know how you'll be tempted and watch out. I talked about habits and patterns. You know, we tend to think that we're all so unique, right? We're like precious little snowflakes. Not any of us are the same. And in one sense, that's true, right? But in another sense, we all are creatures of habits. So look at your life. Look at the patterns, the practices in your life, the areas that you're tempted, and be on guard. Know how you'll be tempted and watch out. Right? You don't need to be a Bible scholar to see, or a psychologist to see that Satan is coming here and he is tempting Jesus exactly where he's already weak. He's been fasting for 40 days. So Satan comes and says, you must be hungry. Why don't you turn these stones into bread? I mean, after all, right? You've earned it. But Jesus isn't having any of it. He first of all kills it, but he is expecting for Satan to come and tempt him in specific areas that he is weak. I am not particularly tempted to flaunt my great wealth and power. Why? I don't really have that much money, right? Like, we're all tempted in different ways, and we're all tempted specifically. There are other areas that I'm tempted. So be aware of how you'll be tempted and be on the lookout. You know, it's interesting here. Jesus is tempted in three specific areas. And these three areas, I think, are common to all of us. And as I list them, be thinking about your life, your sin patterns, your addictions, your struggles, those areas that you just want to find freedom from. Be thinking about them. Because which one are you? You see, oftentimes we're tempted in our flesh. Our physical bodies are good gifts from God. They're to be stewarded. They are precious. We're going to have resurrected bodies someday, right? So our bodies are not evil, but our bodies do affect our spiritual, our spirituality, right? Here's an example. I am legitimately more grumpy when I don't sleep well. I am much more anxious if I don't get up early. Right? Like, our physical bodies, while they are good gifts from God, can also be a source of temptation in different areas. Like, our brains hardwire themselves towards addiction, towards a dopamine rush of some kind. Right? Like, our bodies affect our spirituality. Is this an area that you are tempted in? We can grow dependent on drugs, on food, on social media. Our bodies affect our spirituality. Are you tempted in your flesh? Secondly, Jesus is tempted here in regards to his identity. Look at verse 6. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Satan goes after his identity. You know, make a name for yourself, Jesus. Gain some reputation, some standing. You know, God the Father has just proclaimed in chapter 3 that this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And Satan comes and tempts him, attacks right at his identity here. You know, and so much of what drives us comes from our insecurities surrounding our identity. If your identity is not secure in Christ, you are a walking target for temptation. Because you're operating out of some kind of deficit. And the promise of temptation is that somehow, in some way, for some amount of time, that little deficit inside of you can be filled up. I mean, it doesn't last, but it feels good in the moment. If your identity is not secure in Christ, you'll be constantly worried about how others perceive you, if you're getting the notoriety, if you're accomplishing this or that. If your identity is not secure in Christ, you are a walking target for temptation. If you're really the Son of God, Satan says, if that's your true identity, then prove it. You don't prove your identity in Christ. You enjoy it. You live out of it. Right? let that fuel your worship. So Jesus is tempted in relation to his flesh, his identity, and finally his pride. Look at the verse 8 here. So again, the devil takes him to a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor. He says, all this I will give to you if you will bow down and worship me. You know, like, you want power, you want influence. I've got a path forward for you, Jesus. He appeals to his pride. You want all of this? You want all this notoriety, this fame? I have a way for you. And Jesus has none of it. You know, are you the type of person in your life right now? Which of these three areas is causing you the biggest headache? Which of these three areas is causing you to give into temptation? Is it your flesh? The promises of comfort, of ease, of pleasure? Is it your identity? Your insecurities causing you to lash out at people, to use people, to manipulate people? Is it your pride? You want the glory, you want the power, you want the influence, and so you'll do anything to go and get it? Like, our temptation, our journeys, our stories are so unique, and yet at their core, they are so simple. Know how you'll be tempted, and watch out. Ask yourself, why do I struggle in this area? Ask yourself this, what am I looking for in this moment? Have some self-awareness. Ask God's Spirit to open your eyes. If you're constantly bragging about your accomplishments, ask yourself, what is it that I'm actually after in this moment? What's going on in my heart? It's this desperate need for affirmation. Why not find that in Jesus? Know how you'll be tempted and watch out. And that brings us to step number 3. And here's where we start to construct kind of the positive response to all of this, the active response. It's not enough simply to watch out for temptation, but we need to resist the lies with truth. Now, obviously, in each instance here, Jesus quotes Scripture, right? I mean, that's a great approach to dealing with temptation, right? Memorize the truth of God's Word. But I want to go a little bit further than just memorize a verse for every area that you struggle in, okay? When God opens your eyes and you begin to see what's actually going on in your heart during your temptation, during your areas of struggle or of sin, when God begins to show you what's actually happening in your heart, what are you truly seeking in that moment? When you gain clarity on that, you take that lie to God and you allow His truth to shape you. You know, think about what Jesus' first response is here. You know, Satan tempts him about turning the stones to bread. And Jesus says this, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do you see what Jesus is doing here? He isn't simply saying, no, that's bad, I shouldn't do that. No, what is he doing? He says no to Satan because he's saying yes to his Father. That yes, he needs physical earthly food. But he longs for, he desires, he leans into, he enjoys the very word of God himself. More. That's what he's desperate for. Right? He's getting to the heart of the matter. We're all tempted in different ways, but we all have a unique kind of desire that underlies our responses to temptation and sin. When you gain clarity about what's happening in your heart, you go to God's word and you find promises from God that you can run to in those moments of temptation. Let me give you a couple of examples. So, if you struggle with lust, right? Job 31:1, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully upon a woman. Right? That's good. That's good. Right? It's a good verse to know. But what about memorizing something like Matthew 5, 8? Jesus' words in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Avoiding temptation, it's never enough simply to say, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. We have to turn, we have to take that desire and offer it to God and find our hope, our peace, our identity, our affirmation, whatever it is that we're looking for in any specific temptation, we take that and we go to God and we allow Him to meet that same need. If your temptation is to drink yourself into oblivion, to escape, you need to find promises in God's word that show you that Jesus can be the rest that your soul desires. If your temptation is to control and manipulate people because you are constantly afraid, you need to go to God and find promises in His word that show you that He is truly sovereign, that He is in control, and that you can just let go. You see, you fight the lies with truth. We are all tempted in different ways, but we're all tempted. And when we begin to gain clarity about what's actually going on in our heart, what we are truly seeking, we can take that need, that insecurity, we can take that deficit and turn to God and find it in Him. Let Him fill us up so that we are not operating out of a deficit. Here's the benefits. Jesus offers you the real thing. Do you see that? Like, Jesus offers you your heart's, your soul's desire. Why would you go to anything lesser? Do you really think bragging and boasting and posting on social media is ever going to be enough affirmation for you? No. Do you think you're ever going to find what you're really looking for deep, deep down through all of your various addictions and negative habits? It just doesn't happen. It feels good for a moment and then it leaves you more empty in the future, and then you begin that cycle over. And it just continues on and on and on. You resist the lies with the truth of God's word. So whatever area that you currently struggle in, and maybe God's Spirit's been kind of speaking to your heart through this sermon, being like, yeah, I give in to temptation too much in that area. Right? Spend some time praying and asking God to show you deep down, what is it that you're actually looking for? Because I can guarantee you that God can provide it for you. God is one who provides rest, comfort, true and lasting joy and pleasure. God is the one who grants you and gifts you your identity and will give you an identity far more noble and glorious than anything you could ever manufacture. God is the one who is glorious and praiseworthy and amazing and majestic, not you. So don't live for your pride. You can't compete with God's glory. Fight the lies with truth about who God is and find what it is that you're looking for in Him. You see, saying no to temptation allows us to say yes to God, to enjoy Him more fully, to be more fully complete. And here's the final step that I'll offer you today. Run, run, run to Jesus. Run to Him before your temptation. When everything's going well and you haven't relapsed for a long time, run to Him with utter and total dependence. Run to Him as the one who can continue to give you the strength to persevere. Run to Him during the temptation. Bring Him right into the moment where you are on the fence and you're unsure, and you've taken some steps to open yourself up to this, run to him even in that moment. Call out to him. Call out to him. Fall on your knees. Run to him after. Run to him after you've fallen and failed again. You know, it is so easy. I sense this even in my own life and virtually in pastoral care and counseling as I interact and engage with people. This is universally true. That there is nothing that Satan loves more than to heap shame on our heads when we've fallen with the purpose of keeping us from finding forgiveness and hope for change in God. Right? So let's say you blow it. Let's say you sin. Let's say you give in to temptation. Instead of beating yourself up for 2 weeks, instead of feeling horrible and kind of hiding from God and being like, oh, he's probably so mad at me right now. I blew it again. He's probably so disappointed. I'm just going to go away. And then maybe in a few weeks after I've kind of cleaned myself up, then I'll begin to pray and read the Bible again, right? That is total blasphemy. Your standing with God is not based on your performance over the last 2 weeks. Your standing with God is based on the merits, the work, the perfection of Jesus, your Savior. So at your best and at your worst, your only hope is Jesus. So whether you are doing well or you are struggling and you are giving in to temptation, you run to him. You call out to him. You repent in him and through him by his power. You call out to him. You see, and what that does is, if you truly confess, you will not make peace with your sin. I'm not talking about just kind of being stuck in habitual cycles of sin and destruction, and then saying a quick prayer like, oh, God forgives me. Okay, let's continue on. And the next day, oh, God forgives me. I'm not talking about hard-hearted rebellion, right? But I am talking about areas that you struggle, that you feel like define you as a Christian. Things that you've kind of made peace with and said, I'll just never find freedom from this. Your standing with God is not based on your performance. It is not based on how good you withstand temptation. Jesus has already won that. So you run to him and you take comfort in his victory. You rejoice in his victory. You hold on to the promises that he offers you true and lasting life. And you hold on to the promise that you can say no to temptation because you are no longer a slave to sin. Because Jesus defeated sin and Satan. He overcame temptation for us. So run to him. When you're doing good, when you're doing bad, run to him in the moment. Call out to him. Invite him into the struggle. Because Jesus desires to align with you against your sin. It's not you and your sin. It's not Jesus against you and your sin. Right? He enters into our struggle, into our brokenness, and wants to help us find freedom. So run to him. You see, you're all going to be tempted. We all are. Each and every day. You don't toy with sin. You kill it. Know where you'll be tempted and watch out for it. Resist the lies with the truth of God's word and run to Jesus. Because Jesus is gracious when you fall and he welcomes you even when you struggle, even when you falter. Jesus has given you your identity, which frees you from holding up and maintaining a facade of perfection. The only way that you will ever confess your sin to those in your life, those Christian brothers and sisters that walk beside you, the only way that you can confess is when your identity is actually secure in Christ. Because it doesn't matter if the walls come down, the image, the facade falls a bit, and people see the real you. God's been seeing you, the real you, the entire time. And he loves you. So confess, you're secure in Christ. Find freedom today. Jesus is the one who not only atones for your sin, but has defeated sin for you. He is the one who gives us the power to say no to sin and yes to God. So walk in Jesus' power, in the power of his resurrection today. You know, giving temptation isn't just something to be avoided because good Christians shouldn't do this or shouldn't do that. It's giving into temptation is always settling for something lesser. Why settle for something lesser when the real thing is available to you? Your soul's truest desire, your heart's deepest longing can be fulfilled in Christ, the one who loves you, the one who made you, the one who overcame sin and temptation for you. So what's left for you and I? Run to him. Run to Jesus. And invite him into the struggle. Don't toy with sin. Kill it. Know how you'll be tempted and watch out. Resist the lies with the truth of God's word. And run to Jesus. Let me pray. Father, I, as always, have to begin with just confession about the areas in my life in which I still feel this struggle of is the real thing truly available in you, Jesus? I just pray for greater obedience and greater trust in you, Jesus. And for my brothers and sisters who are watching today, who are joining in, who are struggling, who are caught in cycles of sin and temptation and even addiction, God, I pray that you will give them the freedom. You overcame sin. You defeated our greatest enemies. We are no longer slaves to sin. So help them to walk in that freedom. Give us the power to say no to sin, to see it killed, to trust in you, and to find in you the real thing, what it is that our hearts are after. We love you, Jesus. And we are so thankful that our standing with you is based not on our performance, our obedience, our goodness, our merit, but it's based on you. And because of that incredible and glorious truth, we can rest. We can rest and we can run to you. Help us to do that this week as we are tempted to find hope and freedom in you. Amen.